Number one, according to Acts chapter number one, Jesus, when he met with his disciples, it says he ascended up into heaven. The angels said, this same Jesus, which ascended, is going to descend one day. And so, number one, he is coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The scoffers say, where is the promise of his coming? He's not coming. It's been 2,000 years. He's not coming. Well, he came the first time after all the prophecy about him. He is coming again. If you don't believe that, I feel sorry for you, because he is coming again. And if you don't believe it and you're not ready for it, you're going to find out in a very bad way that he means what he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that means dead, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe in the resurrection, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So not only is he coming, but he's coming in a cloud with the saints that are his, those that are believers that are already passed on to heaven. He's coming back with them. Praise the Lord for that. And for this we say in verse 15, unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The words that we are to comfort one another with is that he is coming again. I don't know exactly when it will be. We're not supposed to know the day or the hour, but we do know that there are signs and as we see the day approaching. And by the way, the day is approaching. Just in the last 15 days, it has been mind-numbing to see what's gone on. In the last 15 days, in our world, in our country, there's been a lot of crazy things that have happened, and emotion swings, and news that has caused us to swing over here and swing over there, and there's just a lot of stuff that's going on. I hope that you understand that we're in that time frame. We're in those days today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 52, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, it talks about him coming, and it says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise God for that. When the Lord returns at the sound of the trumpet, and it says here, the last trumpet, at the sound of the last trumpet, that's when we will rise and be with the Lord forever. And then it says death is swallowed up in victory. It says that our labor will not be in vain in the Lord. And we have these promises from the Lord. We have these promises from the Word of God. He is coming again. Now, I want you to understand that a lot of people have differences of opinion exactly how and when and where the return of Christ will happen. I'm just going to show you from the Word of God what I believe, and it might not jive with what you've been taught or what you've heard in some other church or on a Christian radio station or Christian TV or whatever it might be, but I'm not going to use Dr. So-and-so and his books. I'm just going to use these 66 books that are right here, written by God himself. This is God's word, and that's more important than anybody else's word. So let me just tell you that he is coming again. I think that no matter what people have a difference of opinion on concerning, here's a big word, eschatology. What does that word mean? It means the end times. A lot of people have maybe a difference of opinion exactly how things will all shake out, and nobody understands it all, and the book of Revelation is somewhat cryptic, and it's hard to understand everything. But here's what I do believe. I do believe that when the Bible says last trump, I believe that I can understand that to mean the last trump. I didn't go to, you know, special Ivy League university or anything, but I think I know what last means. I think it means last. And if you look in the Word of God, the last trumpet in the Bible is Revelation, and there's seven trumpets, and it's the last one. In Revelation chapter 10, Revelation chapter 14, it says that when that seventh trumpet sounded, the mystery of God is finished, and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. So I do believe that I can And what I love about the Word of God is you don't have to have an Ivy League degree to understand it. You can just understand it by reading it and believing it. God's Word is special. Best way to understand the last book of the Bible is to understand the first 65 of them. If you'll get to know God's Word in the first 65 books, it'll help you a lot in understanding the last book of the Word of God. And so I would encourage you to know God's Word. By the way, this is why it says you are to assemble together and so much the more. Why? Because as you see, does anybody besides me have a problem with getting older? Does anybody besides me forget stuff that you knew? Duh, I knew that, but I forgot it. I'm going to tell you right now, it is important that we have preaching and we have teaching, and it's important that we have guest preachers come in and preach. It's important that we have different speakers and different teachers do the teaching, because everybody comes at it from a little different angle, and it helps us to see something we didn't see before. I read my Bible every day, and I read through the entire Bible every year, reading it every day. But I'm going to tell you right now, many times I've said, whoa, I never saw that before. No, I saw it before, but I never saw that before. Or I forgot I saw that before. He is coming again. Are you ready for when he comes? He said it'll be as in the days of Noah. They didn't think Noah made any sense. They didn't believe Noah when he built that ark. All of a sudden it started raining. I mean, it really started raining. Listen, Jesus is coming back just as sure as the flood happened. Now, point number two, and this might cause some of you in here, if you're not familiar with what I believe and teach, this might cause some of you to sit up on the edge of your seat and say, wait a minute, what? What? Point number two, there will be much tribulation first. You know what tribulation is? It's trouble. There will be much tribulation first. Acts chapter number 14. The book of Acts, by the way, was all about the first early church and the early churches that were getting started and how they were just always just being hounded and persecuted and tortured. Before Paul got saved, he was part of that. Acts chapter number 14. In verse number 19, it says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. For years, ever since I was a boy, I was taught, and I would hear it over and over again, and you still hear it today, God's people will not go through tribulation. Listen, the Bible tells us we're going to go through tribulation. Well, but God's people will not go through the tribulation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the tribulation. God's people are destined for tribulation. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have it. It will come. We in America are the group of Christians on planet Earth that have the hardest time believing that and accepting that is the American Christian, because we have had the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. We have had the freedom of religion. We have enjoyed the blessings of liberty like no other nation has ever had the opportunity to have. And so it is very hard for us to understand the concept that God's people could suffer tribulation. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, but you will have tribulation. I think that some of the men and teachers that I had teaching would have to be honest and say, we never thought it'd be as bad as it is now, back in the 70s and 80s when I was first going to church as a little kid. I think everybody in here would have to say, I never thought it'd be as bad as it is today. I thought for sure we'd be looking down from heaven as bad as it is today. Listen, I'm not here to try to depress you or to cause you to be discouraged, but I do believe that it is the right thing to do to tell people and to warn people about the truth. I think that's my job. I do believe that you should wear a seatbelt, and I do think it's perfectly fine, and I don't always wear a seatbelt, I'll be honest with you, but I think it's perfectly fine for a parent to tell their child, and maybe even on occasion when it's appropriate, to show them a picture of a car crash and to remind that child, you need to have your seatbelt on. Why? Because we love the individual and we want to protect them and warn them. It is necessary for pastors to warn people that we are in bad times and tribulation is coming. I do believe Jesus is coming back. I do believe that, and I'm looking forward to that day. But here's what I also believe. It's going to get worse before it gets better. If you are sitting here today and you are waiting for the first week of November to come so that we can finally be at rest and at peace, I got bad news for you. In the last 15 days, I have seen insanity. I have seen insanity. I have seen probably the most retarded human being on planet Earth being nominated to be the next president of the United States. I've seen insanity. But more insane than that is how many people are behind her. But I've seen more insanity than just that. 15 days ago, the other candidate on the other side was shot in the ear. Listen to me. That is a grace of God that he didn't get hit in the head. I don't think it's a miracle. I think it's the grace of God. And I would hope the individual is humble enough to understand how fragile life is. And by the way, there's more than one bullet out there. You are not invincible. None of us are. But somebody went to Leviticus and said, the blood on the right ear and the blood on the thumb and the blood on the toe. Listen, that's about the priesthood. That's about the priest. Donald ain't no priest. In fact, that's kind of blasphemous to compare the priest, who is Jesus Christ, to Donald. Somebody else said, it was 6:11 p.m. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God. It's like, we've gone nuts. Somebody else said, you know, Revelation 13 talks about somebody that had a wound in the head and then they were healed and everyone worshiped them. Whoa, whoa. Now, I don't think Donald is the Antichrist, but I think we have the spirit of the Antichrist in our country. We are so desperate for someone to win that we are worshiping man. We're worshiping man. The spirit of Antichrist is in our country and in our churches. See, we are so desperate to not lose our freedoms. Listen to me. The church has been around for 2,000 years. And it will continue to be around after America is done. God didn't need the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in order for him to start a church. And when it's done, he'll still be having his church. You got to have a piano to have church? Sure, it's nice to have a piano, isn't it? Isn't it nice to have a piano? Isn't it nice to have PA systems so that people who are deaf can sit by the speaker and hear? Isn't it nice to have recording so if there's somebody that's not here can listen to it? Isn't it nice to have air conditioning? 10 tons of AC pumping into this building. Remember the days when we didn't have that? Isn't it nice to have all the conveniences that we have? We got two people in wheelchairs today. Isn't it nice we got ramps and big wide entrances? Isn't it nice to have a building and a property? We have a beautiful place here. But none of that is church. Those are just tools that we use. You know what church is? The assembly. You know you can assembly in the woods? You can assemble in the woods. You can assemble in the catacombs. You can assemble in the graveyards and the tombs where nobody wants to go. You can assemble in a container. You can assemble in a dark, dreary place. You can church anywhere. And there are people on the other side of this globe that are doing that right now. Don't tell them there is no tribulation. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What comes first, the trumpet or the tribulation? It's not just there. It's in other passages as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, we are appointed unto tribulation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, we are not appointed to wrath. Here's the problem. Many well-meaning but deceiving preachers and teachers out there have believed for years that tribulation and wrath are the same thing. Well, in 1 Thessalonians, you can easily see that in chapter 3, it says, we are appointed to tribulation. But in chapter 5, it says, we are not appointed to wrath. They are not the same words. Did you know that wrath and tribulation are spelled differently? Did you know that wrath and tribulation are two different words? I love the Bible, and I love every word in the Bible. And let me tell you something. Jesus never said, in this world, you will have wrath. No, he said the wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. The unbeliever has the wrath of God abiding on them. Tribulation is for the Christian. Why is it tribulation? Because this world is becoming the world of Satan. I don't recommend you watch the Olympics. But you know why part of that happened this weekend? Because there was a country who never had Christianity, who never had churches and freedom of religion like we do in this country. France has always been just a vile place, an ungodly place. Oh, they've got religion, but not Christianity, not biblical Christianity. So we ought not be too shocked. But listen, friend, in this world, you will have tribulation if you are going to stand up for Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, as kindly as I can say it, if you're too afraid to talk to a biker at a booth, you ain't ready for what's coming next, honey. If talking to a biker at a booth scares the fire out of you, you just wait to what's coming next. I don't know God like I want to, but I know enough about God to know that he gets more mileage out of his Christians when we are in trouble than when we are at comfort. Let me say that again. God gets more mileage out of his people when we are hurting than when we have it easy. Read the Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And that is coming. And we see it. We do not know the day or the hour, but did you know that the Bible refers to it as a woman with child? Now, if there is a woman with child, I don't know the day or the hour when she's going to deliver. But I do know enough to know that there's usually a 9-month time frame. Don't know the day or the hour. If someone says, hey, we just found out we're pregnant, and she looks the same, I'm thinking, okay, there's probably at least 8 months or something like that. But if she's, you know, and she's been pregnant for a while, it's like, wow, it's not going to be 8 months. Anybody following me? Again, I'm not Ivy League, but I'm just saying, and I'm saying when it comes to what kind of world we're in and the times we're in, we don't know the day or the hour, but we ought to be able to say, whoa. Just 4 years ago,
Sunday school is so important. Kids need to learn those stories. As a boy, I learned all these stories about going to church week after week and time, more than once a week, and just going to church and learning the Word of God to be able to stand against the pressures of the day. Those aren't just stories for people from thousands of years ago. There's kids in here that are going to have to stand probably. I believe that there's probably someone in here right now, I'm not sure how old they are, but there's probably someone listening to me right now that they're going to be told, you cannot continue to have your freedoms and do what you want to do. And they're going to have a decision to make. They're going to have a decision to make. Praise God, there's Old Testament books like Daniel to help them make the right decision.
Right.
When I was a kid, there was these four movies that came out called The Thief in the Night. It was all about how Jesus was going to come back. It was going to be secret. And then it's going to be fast and it's going to come like a thief in the night. And surprise to everybody. Is that what that passage says right there? It says you're the children of the day. That day's not going to overtake you as a thief. That day's not going to overtake you as a thief.
I think people stop reading the Bible and start watching movies too much. I think people stop reading the Word of God and start watching and looking at other things that that sound better. For instance, look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, what does that passage say? First of all, at the end of verse 2, it says day of Christ. If you have a Bible that says day of the Lord, you have a bad Bible. If your Bible right now says day of the Lord, throw it in the garbage and get a good one. You know why yours says day of the Lord? Because day of the Lord is all about the wrath of God. But day of Christ is about Jesus coming back. It's called the day. See, Christ means Messiah. The only people looking for a Messiah are the ones who belong to him. He's not everyone's Christ, but he will be everyone's Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But he is not everyone's Christ. There are people who are anti-Christ. But when it says the day of Christ is at hand, it says in verse 3, it can't happen until two things happen first. Number one, the apostasia, the falling away. The falling away. We're seeing that today. We're seeing churches that are falling away from the truth. They don't know what the Bible says. They're making up their own salvation. They've got a works-based salvation. People are getting baptized to go to heaven, which isn't going to take them there. People are falling into all kinds of false doctrine. That's the apostasy. We're seeing it today. And then it says, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It says that he'll be revealed before Christ returns. That's not what they're teaching everywhere else. They're teaching that we get zapped out of here before the man of sin, that Antichrist, is revealed. That's not what that passage says, is it? Listen to me. I'm not looking for the Antichrist, but I know this. If he should show up on the scene, and there are many Antichrists. There are many Antichrists. There are many world leaders right now who are Antichrist. By the way, the word anti doesn't just mean opposed. The word anti also means replacement. Who's more important to you? A nominee? Is he the Savior? It's where we're headed. There's a spirit of Antichrist going on. There will be much tribulation. Now, what are we to do until Christ returns? I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Before I read verse 14, let me look at verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's drop down. Verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There are people who don't have time to go to church, but they've got time to watch some doofus on the internet talking about blood on the ear and blood on the thumb and blood on the toe. Taking the Bible completely out of context, flipping it around, and they're going, yeah, yeah. Why? Because you want Donald to win. That's why. You want Donald to win. You are so desperate for Donald to be the Savior. Why don't you just put him on the cross and call him Savior? Come on. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ will be king in December. If Kamala wins the White House, Jesus is still the king. I'm not worried about it. I'm not. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus is my Savior. I do not recommend listening to the news. Mainstream media is a joke. Everything is filtered and prepackaged for you to believe something. I love the picture of the guy sitting there at the desk, and it says, good evening, it's 6 o'clock. Here's what we want you to believe. But there's a guy, I follow him. I don't listen to everything he says. I don't have time to. But I appreciate him because I really think he's looking, he's searching. And I'm not trying to endorse him as a great, wonderful person. I don't even think he's a Christian yet. But I have been following this guy. His name is Tucker Carlson. Now listen to me. I don't think he's a Christian. But here's what I've heard him say just in the last week or two. I've read my Bible in the last year and a half, and I'm reading it more. And then he said, and the conversation was some other guy, and they were even using words I wouldn't use. They were, but he said, listen, he said, I'm finding that the Bible-believing people, they know what's going on. They're getting it. The rest of us are freaking out, and they're not freaking out. You know what I love about that? That's exactly true. We have an anchor. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. Some of you haven't read it yet this year. And no wonder you're worried about everything. You need to get back into this book. Shame on all of us who have copies of this at home. And yet we don't have time to read it. We don't have time to listen to preaching about it. But we got time to listen to some doofus on the internet talking about Donald and blood on the ear. I love what one sarcastic preacher said. He said, did you know that Donald Trump was shot in the ear 78 years and 30 days after his birthday? And the seventh book of the Bible is Judges. And the eighth chapter and the 30th verse says that Gideon had several wives and lots of sons. Stop it. We are to continue in the Word. We are to continue in, and so much the more, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Thank you for being in church today. Understand, we assemble many times. Don't forsake the assembly. Oh, the Williams are not here. Huh. What are they doing? Well, they're on vacation. But I'm talking about people who could be in church, but I don't need to go. I can stay home. Listen, the Bible says, and so much the more. Did you know that and so much the more is the opposite of and so much the less? Don't do less. Do more. Get more involved. Get more in tune. And hear God's word preached and taught and reminded. It says there in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, preach the word. It doesn't say read poems. It says preach the word. We are to preach God's word. And that means someone needs to be listening to God's word. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach the word. There are so many churches today that don't preach the word anymore. They don't even know what the word is anymore. Look at verse 5. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? Well, that means that we all have to travel like Brother Bill does. No, no. An evangelist is simply a winner of souls, a preacher of the word. We need to continue to evangelize to win souls wherever we go. Someone just told me, by the way, it's not a coincidence that this person's also excited about the booth this week. But someone just told me, I just had a conversation with someone this morning and I asked them about their salvation. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do, is continually evangelize. Do the work of an evangelist. Continue to preach the word. 2 Peter chapter 3 says that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I can tell you right now about me. I have a diploma on my wall. No, actually, it's on the shelf. We'd have to crawl up on the chair and get up on the stool and climb up there and get this diploma, and then we'd have to wipe all the dust off of it. And inside it says that I have a degree. A Bible degree. So, do I look like I need to read the Bible anymore? I mean, I got a diploma that says I have a degree. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't how it works. It doesn't matter if you know the Bible cover to cover. You and I are supposed to be reading the word and growing in grace and knowledge. And there ain't nobody in here, including Ron Spear, that has it all figured out. Nobody. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, that ye should be called the children of God, the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know what happens? When you start getting close to the Lord, you start becoming more like him. I saw a great quote, and I forwarded it on to as many places as I could. The sincere Christian is concerned mostly about his own sin. The sincere Christian is the one who is mostly concerned about his own sin. This is why I think talk radio is bad. I like talk radio. I'm an American. I believe in freedom of speech. But you know what talk radio does? It focuses on all everybody else's sin. We need to get close to Jesus Christ and let him purify us. Because the closer you get to him, the more you realize you got stuff in your life that needs fixed. What are we to do? We're to grow. We're to mature, we're to purify, we're to listen and preach the word. We are to continue in the scriptures. And Philippians chapter number one, it says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, I would love to go to heaven, but God has a purpose for me to stay here on the earth. And then 25, it says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul said, what I want you Philippians to do mostly is just work together for the gospel. You know what I love about the biker booth? It's not the only time of the year we're supposed to be giving the gospel. We're supposed to be giving the gospel all the time. But you know what I love about the biker booth? I love the biker booth because people go to vendor after vendor after vendor, and every vendor they go to, even some other churches, they've got pancakes that they're selling them, or they got spaghetti dinners that they're selling them. And every booth, every vendor is trying to make money, is trying to get their dollar. And they come by this rinky-dink little booth operated by Mountain View Baptist Church. It's not very classy. It's not very pizzazz. And it's just bare. And they come by and they say, no. And no, it's free. And they see free. What do you mean it's free? And more than one will say, so what's the angle here? What are you trying to do? And sometimes in my smart aleckness, I'll say, well, we take the fingerprint DNA off of your pin that you stuck in the map, and we file it away. No. Or then, free, really? Yeah, and they'll grab a cup, and as soon as they get the styrofoam cup out, the cup's $5, but it's free lemonade. And I'll just have fun with them. But you know what they realize? These are homemade cookies. I hope they are this year. Did little old ladies from the church make these? Uh-huh. Wow, these are good. And they're individually wrapped. And that's good lemonade. And wow, what do you guys do this for? Because we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. It costs us $800 or more just to rent the spot. It costs a lot more than that for people to stand down there for hours at a time. And what's a testimony to the people around is when they see you and 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 you down there, and they realize they're all striving together for the gospel. They're all working together to get this done. God invented something to make that happen. God didn't invent Christian TV and Christian radio. God didn't invent parachurch organizations. God invented church. And my heart goes out. I want Tucker to get saved. I do. I reached out and tried to mail him something. They said, no, we don't take any mail. So I'm trying to figure out how I can reach the guy. Well, maybe somebody else will reach him. But he said, those Bible believers, they seem to know what's going on. And they're not worried. I mean, that guy's a millionaire, but he doesn't know. But he's trying to find it. He's trying to search for it. Oh, let's pray that someone will reach him. And it's not just Tucker. There's lots of people out there. Don't you think somebody might walk by us this week and say, man, the world's gone crazy. What do you think about it? Well, I'll tell you what I think about it. It says it's going to go crazy. But he gave me an anchor so that when it goes crazy, I don't have to go with it. And that's why we work together, and that's why we strive together, and that's why we paid and funded this, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, because our mission is to preach the gospel. So what are we supposed to be doing as you see the day approaching? And it is approaching. What are we supposed to be doing? Continue assembling. Continue working together and striving together, continuing to be more and more, not less and less. It is the satanic lie that says, you don't have time for church. It's really bad out there. So man, it's really bad out there, and that's why we must have time for church. And aren't you not thrilled at some of the things that go on? Aren't you not thrilled to see people want to join the church, see people get saved, see people get baptized? Aren't you not thrilled to see young people growing and maturing? Aren't you not thrilled to see some of these young people? They're a blessing. See some of these old people that are a blessing. I love church. Sometimes there's some bad things that happen in church. But I'll tell you what, for the most part, it's a wonderful place to be. And even when Satan gets a hold of a church, there's still another church out there somewhere you can go to. Because he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm so thankful that God led my parents to a Bible-believing church so many years ago. And I grew up in it. And I don't regret it one bit. If I grew up in a false religion, I'd be terribly regretful about that. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that now my children and my grandchildren can be a part of God's church. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you there's better options out there. There's no better option than the church, the Lord Jesus Christ's church, his word. There's no better place to be. Some of you got saved as a result of this church. What a blessing. Some of you got saved as a result of another church. What a blessing. What are we to do? As the times get worse and worse, and as tribulation comes, and as everything we thought we could count on falls apart, well, there's one thing that won't fall apart, and that him is him and his word and his church. And I'm just going to keep hanging on to it. And I hope you will too. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that you said will not be able to be destroyed. Lord, we thank you for the truth that no matter what happens, it still marches on. Lord, we thank you that even though man can destroy certain churches, man cannot destroy the church. Because you said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we need to be more grateful and thankful that we just have the opportunity to be a part of an assembly. An assembly of believers who care for one another and pray for one another. Lord, thank you for that. Help us to be appreciative of one another. Help us to never think we need to turn to some other alternative. Help us to realize that false information is worse than no information. And help us to stay in the book. Help us to have time or to realize we need to make time to be in church more than not less. And help us to be people that the world says they strive together. They work together for God. And may we be a church that glorifies you. And as we see the day approaching, help us to not do less, but help us to do more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.